The epistle for this Sunday is taken from that of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, to Abraham were the promises made unto his seed. He saith not unto his seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, that the testament which was confirmed by God, the law which was made after 430 years, doth not annul so as to make void the promise. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of the promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why then was the law? It was set because of transgressions, until the seed should come to whom he made the promise, being ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Was the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could give life, verily justice should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And the Holy Gospel is from that of St. Luke. In that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain town, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood far off and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Whom when he saw, said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. It came to pass that as they went, they were made clean. And one of them, when he saw that he was made clean, went back with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell on his face before his feet, giving thanks. And this was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not 10 made clean? And where are the 9? There is no one found to return and give glory to God but this stranger. And he said to him, Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. So, my dear friend, this Sunday, our Lord is going from down to Jerusalem between Samaria and Galilee, and there meet him 10 lepers. Now the passage of our Lord to Jerusalem is going to his cross. He's going there to die. Jerusalem is the royal city, the city of the great king, and it's the city of Christ the King, the place of his sacrifice, the place of the institution of the holy sacrifice, the Mass. The place with all the prophecies. So he's going to Jerusalem, and he's going between Galilee and Samaria. Samaria represents the land of heretics, heresy. Galilee represents the land of the pagans, the apostolate to the Gentiles. And he's on his way to Jerusalem, the true city, the city of the Jews, the city of the King. And there meet him 10 lepers. And these 10 lepers stand from a far distance, because leprosy is legal disease, which they couldn't be close to anyone or associate with people. And leprosy represents mortal sin. How hideous in the eyes of men is the hideous disease of leprosy. Even saints have been afraid of leprosy. We read, for instance, in the life of St. Ignatius, how Simon Bobadilla and Francis Xavier were assigned by St. Ignatius to work as young men and young priests near the hospital of the incurables, and to be there at night and to take care of the incurable people. And there were in that hospital lepers. And Simon Bobadilla, in order to overcome his fear of leprosy, he slept in the same bed as a leper, in the dirty linens of that leper, and back to back with that leper. And during the night, he had a dream that he was getting leprosy, and he shouted and screamed in his nightmare. And when he woke in the morning, he actually had leprosy. And he had leprosy for 2 days, or 3 days, I don't remember. And then he was miraculously cured. St. Francis Xavier was abhorred by these lepers. And so to overcome his horror, he put his hand and rubbed the back of a leper and got the leprosy on his fingers and put it in his mouth. Overcome himself. So leprosy is a horrible thing. In India, we had the chance to go to a leper colony and a leper hospital and say mass for the lepers. To see the lepers with their stubbed feet and crooked noses and wrinkled fingers. Say mass for these poor people in India in a whole leprosy hospital. Yeah. So it's a horrible thing to see. It can be controlled today, but in those days they didn't know how to control it. Leprosy represents the soul immortal sin. The soul eaten away as horrible in the sight of God. And so that's why these men stand at a great distance from our Lord Jesus Christ. And they cry out to Him, Lord, Lord, save us, have mercy on us, cure us. And the Lord commands them to go to the priest. So that represents confession. So they go to the priest and they are healed. Every one of them, all 10 of them are healed. They are healed from their leprosy. And 9 of them go about their normal life, so they go out there and they're happy to be healed, and they immediately probably try to find jobs or whatever they can do to enter into normal life. They're so happy. One of them goes to seek out Jesus Christ. So he had to find him. Our Lord was on the move. He wasn't in the same place. So he goes to seek out Jesus Christ. And he goes in front of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he falls down on the ground. He cries out with a loud voice, giving thanksgiving to God. He glorifies God. He tells everybody, I was a leper and he healed me. This man healed me. I was a leper and this man healed me. In a loud voice. And he falls down on his face, adoring him. And our Lord says, were not 10 made clean? And where are the 9? Only one man, this foreigner, comes back to give praise to God. And then he says, go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. No, he doesn't say go in peace. He says, go thy way. Go thy way. Thy faith has saved thee. Now in the Gospels, we recognize 2 Samaritans. Jesus Christ talks about only 2 Samaritans. The one Samaritan you had several Sundays ago, the one that helped the poor man by the wayside, that Samaritan represents Jesus Christ. This Samaritan represents you. The one Samaritan represents Jesus Christ because he puts the man on his own beast, he pours in oil and wine, he cures him, he puts him on his way, turns him over to the inn, he pays the denarius, he pays the bills, and he promises to pay all the bills. So it's obviously the Redeemer who is represented by the Good Samaritan. But in this case, this Samaritan represents the servant of Jesus Christ. That's why he's a Samaritan. The 9 Jews go back to Judaism, as it were. Go back to their normal life in the world. The life they always desired to lead, but they could not lead it because they were lepers. And so being cured, they could go back to what they wanted to do. But the one who was a Samaritan, an outcast, a foreigner, a despised person, he alone goes back to God. He alone cries out that he was a leper and has been cured. He alone falls on his face and adores Jesus Christ. And he alone has the true faith. And so you see, this Samaritan, he's a Samaritan. And that is why this gospel represents 2 conversions. And in our Catholic tradition, we always talk about 2 conversions. Today, passing through today, and we'll be here tomorrow, is Father Cyprian. It's a monastery. Monks are always said to be the men of the second conversion. There are 2 conversions. The first conversion is your baptism, or your confession away from mortal sin, or your confession to get out of rotten mortal sin, to be able at least to follow the 10 commandments. That's the first conversion. The second conversion is to labor for the glory of God, conquering the kingdom of heaven by seeking perfection. And our Lord told all of us to be perfect. Be perfect, he said to all mankind, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And everybody was supposed to go through those 2 conversions. Now, obviously, we're born in mortal sin. We're born in original sin, so we need to be baptized. And then oftentimes we fall into leprosy. We fall into mortal sin, so we need to convert. To get out of this situation of sin, to go back to God. to go back to the way of the Ten Commandments. But then there has to be a second conversion. And that is what this man shows us. He shows us, what did he do? Loud voice, glorifying God. He glorified God. It's like St. Ignatius says, we must do everything for the greater honor and glory of God. We must seek His glory, His benefit. And this man was ready to follow Jesus Christ. And that's why he's called a Samaritan, an outcast. When our Lord said to him, go thy way, thy faith has saved thee, he did not go the same way as the other nine. The other nine wanted to integrate back into society. They sought social integration. So they stayed clear of Jesus Christ. Many times, there's another famous occasion in the Gospels where a man is cured and he gets socially integrated and he swears off Jesus Christ. And another man got cured and he refused social integration and he rebuked society and he was outcast from that society and then he worshiped Christ. So that's really what these nine represent. Socially integrated Catholics. We're saved. We're Catholic. We have the faith. We have been to the sacraments. And that's the end of the road for us. We have gotten that monkey off our back. And so many of us are the same way. Many of us go to confession. Why? Because, you know, you had a monkey on our back. Oh, you know, this rotten thing I did. I might go to hell. It's bothering me. If we go to confession, it's off our back. Oh, relax. Now it's off my back. I no longer need to worry about anything. I no longer need to labor for my salvation. I no longer need to act with penance. I no longer need to do something greater and something more for the glory of my God. I've got a monkey off my back. But we go no further. The second conversion means that we go further. We go back to God and we say, what can I do for your greater honor and glory? That's what the loud voice symbolizes. St. Augustine says, when you hear someone crying with a loud voice, Jesus Christ always listens to the people that have a big mouth. They cry with a loud voice because it represents the desire of their hearts. That man who prays to God with all of the desire of his heart is crying out to God with a loud voice, even if he's praying silently. When he cries out to God with his whole heart, and he is ready to do whatever God asks of him, he's crying out to God with a loud voice. So this man is crying out with a loud voice. It also means he's showing everybody who he is. I am a Samaritan. I was a leper. Here is my Redeemer. And this is the time of the gospel when to ally yourself with Jesus Christ was to put yourself in opposition with the Pharisees. You're lining up with our Lord. You're lining up against the Pharisees. And so a lot of people wanted the middle ground. Yeah. We like what he does. It's very wonderful how he handles kids. But, I don't know. What do you mean? I'm not following. So they had to be the middle ground. This man, no middle ground. I'm with our Lord. I'm with Christ the King. He's going to Jerusalem. And there's no doubt that the Samaritan would have followed our Lord to Jerusalem, at least mystically followed him to Jerusalem. So you see, he represents the Catholic, faithful Catholic, who goes to that second conversion, one who is going to cry with a loud voice his faith. He's not going to hide his faith under a bushel basket. He's not going to hide his own wretchedness and misery under a bushel basket. He's not going to hide the glory of his Savior, the greatness of his God, or his Catholic Church under a bushel basket. And that's why in this gospel it's important to understand that journey. The gospels always insist upon that journey of Jesus Christ to Jerusalem on that last journey. Because Jerusalem represents his death. And he dies for two principal reasons. The first reason is because he made himself the Son of God. That's the number one reason. This man makes himself the Son of God. And the second reason is our Lord continually talked about the kingdom of heaven. the kingdom of God. Our Lord was obviously founding another kingdom that was going to replace the Old Testament. And the Jews knew that, and they stood for the Old Testament, and we're not going to any New Testament. We don't care who you are. We're sticking with the old ways. We're not going to move to divine plan to a New Testament. They did not believe he was God, so they would not accept his testament, and they would not accept his church. They would not accept his kingdom. And that's so important for us, because if we're going to obey that injunction of Jesus Christ to this man, go thy way, what does that mean, go thy way? Well, it means on the one hand that God had given him the Holy Spirit, because through the Holy Ghost he was able to recognize that Jesus Christ is God, to profess him as our Lord, and to say it with a loud voice. So this is the Holy Ghost moving inside of this man. And therefore, the Holy Ghost moving inside of him would move him to follow Jesus Christ to Jerusalem. And so we also must be animated by the Holy Ghost. And to be animated by the Holy Ghost means that we must follow Jesus Christ to Jerusalem, his death. You have to be a Samaritan. What does it mean to be a Samaritan? An outcast of the world. It says in the scriptures, he is a Samaritan. That is to say, a foreigner. He does not belong here. He is not one of our people. And St. Paul will repeat this over and over again to the early Christians. You are foreigners. You are strangers in this world. Your true home is the heavenly Jerusalem. And the way to get there is through the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when our Lord says, go thy way, what it means is, take up your cross every day and follow me. And I am going to Jerusalem, where I will lay down my life, because I am the Son of God. And I lay down my life to shed my blood, and with that blood, to create my kingdom, my church. And I give my body and my blood to my church. And therefore, if we have the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the church, we must imitate it. Go thy way. After Mass, we say at every Mass, ite missa est, which is basically the same thing. Go thy way. And your way is to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, to be a Samaritan, not of this world. So then, how then do we put this into practice? Right? How do we put it into practice? So, number one, we have to realize that we have to be a Samaritan, which means we are not of this world. We are in the world, but we're not of it. We're of the kingdom of heaven. Our king reigns on the Catholic altar through his body and blood given to us at every Mass. That body and blood is given to us to offer to the Heavenly Father for our own salvation and remission of our sins, and also to be our nourishment in the way. The wayfarer's food is the body and blood of our victim, Jesus Christ, our priest and king. The way. In that way, so that's number one, Samaritan, outside the city. We're on the way to Jerusalem. And then we have to go thy way. Our way is to carry the cross. And the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be our strength to carry our cross every day. That's the first thing, I guess. Samaritan, carry the cross. Another thing would be, that in your own soul, inside of our own soul, we have to practice self-denial. No one can be a true Christian without self-denial. None of us can follow Jesus Christ without self-denial. It's impossible. So when he told that man to go his way, because of his belief in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he allied himself with our Lord, because our Lord was a Samaritan and an outcast, he would become an outcast. And remember that after the apostles began to preach, after Pentecost, they were persecuted throughout Judea. So this man would have suffered persecution also. So if you cast your lot with Jesus Christ, And you go back to Him to glorify Him after your confessions or after your baptisms and with a loud voice. Must be ready to suffer for Him. But we're not able to suffer for Him unless we're able to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. And my dear friends, you know, this self-denial is so important. The world is always attacking your soul. Everything in the world is a battle against your soul. The internet, the television, the cell phones, the constant texting and bexting and baxting, the constant YouTubing and Facebooking and backbooking, everything is a way of gradually eating away your soul. And it's so easy to become a slave to this world. You must remember, you are a Samaritan. And if you are not a Samaritan, you are one of the nine. Where are the nine? How did the Catholic Church end up in the situation it is in today? It simply followed the world. What's the big difference between the Novus Ordo Mass and traditional Mass? The Novus Ordo Mass is a Mass that imitates the world. The traditional Mass is a Mass that imitates Christ. And so, how did the Catholic Church end up like it is today? By following the blasted world. Making peace with the enemies of Christ. Trying to have a foot in the kingdom of heaven and in the world. It doesn't work. The world wins. And this is no different for you or me. We are always in a struggle. This world is a cross, you know, there it is. It's two directions, one up and down, one across. Without two beams, there's no cross. And the one is going to heaven, go thy way. The other one is the weight of the world and sin that intersects that and pulls you down. If you're not on the cross, you're not really living a Catholic life. You're not. Many of you are because you have the children that God sends you. And I'm sure that every single one of you, mothers and fathers who have a large family, experience on a regular basis those looks and those innuendos and all the things that come from people that say you're weirdos and don't you know about this method and that method and even from doctors and so on. You're always getting that contradiction. And if you were not here in a big parish where you're supported by other people, you would maybe wear down. Wears you down. It wears you down. That's the beam. Your desire to follow God and not sin and to give to God His gifts and receive His gifts from God and all the crosses it represents and so on, that's the beam going up. The beam across is the world and its ideas. And it is relentless. Gravity never stops. Gravity doesn't take a break. And the world is gravity, spiritual gravity. The Samaritan, he feels that pain all the time, and he works against it. So that is why in our soul we always have to strengthen ourselves to resist the world and its and the flesh and the devil and all its concupiscences and so on. So that's on the inside. Now on the outside, we also have to have the loud voice. The loud voice. And this means that wherever we are and whatever friends we have, wherever we are in our life, we should speak to them about the kingdom of heaven. We should try to influence everybody around us for their salvation, and especially with the idea in our head, the honor of God. What am I doing for the honor of my God? How am I honoring Him? How am I trying to bring souls to understand His reign right here on the altar? How am I bringing them to understand His vocation to all lepers of the world to receive His body and blood in Holy Communion or to fight their, you know, to get rid of the leprosy through confession or whatever means it is? All of us have many people to whom are surrounded by and most of whom we cannot influence, but there are some of whom we can. And if we are not opening our eyes and looking for those souls, and if we're not opening our mouth, how can they ever be influenced? So the loud voice, it means our efforts to convert other souls, to bring them into the gentle reign and the strong reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. So ask yourself that question. Do you have a loud voice? Are you speaking to your neighbor or to your boss or to your friend to bring him closer to God by 1 degree or 2 degrees or whatever is possible? Are you using the loud voice? That's what this man did, and he glorified God. The other thing the Samaritan did was he fell on his face. Of course, this represents humility, and it means that everything that we have, all our possessions, everything that we own or possess, must be brought under the dominion of God, that it must be brought to serve Him. And that is why anything in our home or houses that do not honor and glorify God are best thrown out of the house. Yeah. You know, in the Philippines, we have a great plague of homosexuality. It's horrible. And it's getting worse every year. And one of the main reasons why it's growing in such abundance, there are many, many reasons, but one of the reasons is the television. Because in the Philippines, there's only a few movie stars, and they're on everything. They're on every commercial, and they're on every talk show and everything. They appear all the time, the same stars. And the majority of the same stars are flagrant homosexuals. And so the children are conditioned to accept homosexuality every day. And then the second way is through their comrades at school. One of my young boys is a sort of a helper in my priory. He goes to college nearby. And his first year in college, there were 2 queers in his class. And this year, there are 5. And everywhere, every single class is growing. The number of homos teaching and those who are in the classes grows. And that's through human respect and through association. So what do? If you don't have a loud voice, their voice is louder than yours. Get the TV out of the house. Throw it out. You know, if you're worried about your children starving from television, you're going to starve. They're going to be starving. They're not going to know how to deal with TV. That's foolish, because every other house in the world has TV. And it's in the airports, it's everywhere. They're not going to be immune to TV. They're going to get all the TV they need when they step outside your door. Get it out of the house. Let your voice, the voice of Christ, be louder than the world's voice. But if you're not using your voice, the world is. The world is. And it will win. It will win. So you must react against that world in the measures possible. So that's what it means, falling down on your face. I mean, everything in my body and soul, I submit it to Jesus Christ. I submit it to our blessed Lord. Yeah. So, my dear friends, let us honor our Lord Jesus Christ, the King. Let us do everything we can to honor Him. And let those two opposites we see in the gospel is Samaritan leper. Well, we are lepers from our sins. We should never forget that we're sinners. We should always humble ourselves in His sight. And we are Samaritans. We are strangers. This world is not our home. On the other hand, our good Samaritan, our King, is going to Jerusalem. And we must follow Him to Jerusalem. Follow Him to His kingship. Follow Him in making His reign spread throughout the world. And to do it, be ready to die for Him. And He was ready to die for our Lord. He can do anything. So let us pray to our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, to give us a true spirit of our Catholic faith. Be strong in our faith, and not to lose our gains, not to lose what we've been able to gain by any foolish compromises with the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.